Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're in animal welfare or running a for-profit pet business. We want to help you get some PR visibility and buzz for what you do. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, the founder and principal of Whisker Media, a pet public relations agency based in Buffalo, Minnesota. And I'm joined today by my fabulous producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who brings us to you each and every week. Mark, what's up with you this week?
Hi, Mary. Well, lots of fun stuff, as always. Being a news person yourself, we just had Meredith Vieira on for our Rappaport to the Rescue. It's the sixth anniversary going on 7 years, and we have her on every year on the anniversary show because she was the very first guest. And she's always fun. I like her so much. And we won two awards. I think I mentioned this last week. We won two awards from the UK, the Pet Podcast Network of the Year for Corporate Livewire Innovation and Excellence Awards, a long title, and Best Pet Podcast and Radio Network 2026 in Lux Life magazine.
Wow. I mean, that is just amazing. That speaks volumes for, you know, what you've done in the podcast sphere. It's just amazing. And you were telling me earlier, educate the viewers on what podcast stands for. I didn't know that.
Okay, well, there are two versions of this origin story. So the first one is podcast is a combination of iPod and broadcast because people wanted to download radio shows to their iPod. And the other version is that it's a combination, an acronym actually, for programming on demand. And that's where podcast came from. You can take your pick which version you like.
Wow. Well, every week we just learn something new from you. And yes, and you always get to interview like amazing people. You've had on like Katherine Heigl, like all these stars and different things. And each week you tell us all about all the hobnobbing you get to do.
A little bit.
Well, we're thrilled to be part of Pet Life Radio, and every week, Mark and I help you learn practical ways to build your brand, connect with your audience, and earn media attention. Now to our special guest. We love her. Today's guest knows more than a little bit about handling tough situations and protecting reputations. Rushini Rajkumar is a crisis specialist, attorney, C-suite advisor, former television reporter, and the host of the Crisis Files podcast. She works with Fortune 500 companies, executives, and organizations to help them prevent, manage, and recover from crises. She's also a frequent legal, political, and crisis analyst, appearing in media outlets across the country. Now, you may think this podcast is all about cute and furry animals, but let me tell you, for pet organizations, veterinary practices, animal shelters, and pet brands, crises can happen when you least expect them. From social media backlash and customer complaints to animal welfare concerns, leadership controversies, or product recalls. Well, today, Rushini joins us to discuss what pet professionals can learn from crisis communications and how to prepare before trouble strikes. Welcome, Rushini.
It's so good to be with you, Mary. Congrats on not only being on Pet Radio, but on everything you're doing with Whisker Media. And it's such a great service as well as just business you're providing to your clients and to the public, because I know you're always out there educating. I see your posts on LinkedIn, and I can't keep up with the travels you do across the country at various shows and conferences.
Yes. I mean, educating people on PR is actually like one thing I really love to do. But let's get to you. So first off, tell us about your dog.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Kodak, we like to call him 90 pounds of love. So he turned six at the end of May, but he still thinks he's a puppy and he still thinks he's a lap dog. When we got him in August of 2020, he was about 9 pounds. And they told us he would get to be 48 to 50 pounds. wrong. So they didn't know at the rescue, as is always the case, you don't exactly know their genetics. So we did a DNA panel and we found out he's 50% for one parent forever Boxer, and the other half is a combo of Vizsla, Great Pyrenee, Alaskan Husky, and Dutch Sheepdog.
Oh my gosh.
This guy, he's got a brindle coat. He's beautiful, big white chest, white socks. He has a leaner face than a boxer. So you can imagine he's got that boxer chest, but he's muscular and a little bit leaner of a face, which I think is the Vizsla. But he's lately been very verbal. So that's that Malamute, as you know, in him, the husky in him. And he is a beautiful dog. He knows it. People stop us regularly to tell us how beautiful he is when we're on walks or out and about with him.
Of course. I mean, animals are such conversation starters. You know, complete strangers can bond in 30 seconds over a dog or a cat or any kind of critter. Let's get started to what you do. Tell us a little bit about your background, what you do for clients, and you do a whole host of things as like you are a former reporter, an attorney, I mean, everything.
I keep my license current, but I'm not a practicing attorney. I bring that legal background into my work, though, on the regular for now 20 years with my clients. My company is called Ruscini Multimedia, but I do a lot more than in the media space. So I am an analyst and commentator, but I'm really working with those top level corporate executives in corporations as well as private equity backed firms. And they are the strategic leaders of their organizations. So if they're not directly responsible for crisis, let's say a chief risk officer, if they're a CEO or a CFO, they still have to really be crisis aware and crisis ready. So that is part of what I do with them, as well as other growth and getting them, you know, prepped for the media that you, like you help your clients find their PR machines, get them the media, and then I really prep them to be top notch. Because for the prior 10 years, I was a TV news reporter. And I know you know this, Mary, you and I were in the same market for a couple of those years in Minneapolis. And my final market was the NBC in Detroit. And I left that in 2006 to start my business. And I really draw on that life in TV news so much, even if I'm not the one on camera, because you do have to worry about optics. You have to worry about and be very focused on accuracy and what the facts are. And all of that plays into my work with clients. And then that legal background really helps me keep them from having a hit to their stock price or saying something that could get them or the company sued.
So given your amazing background to, you know, a pet store owner, a pet product manufacturer, you know, that's on the smaller side, give us some advice on a crisis can really happen to anyone. It can happen to a company that does good work and really, you know, promotes dogs and cats. It could be a nonprofit. What's your advice to, you know, some of these smaller resourced places when it comes to handling a crisis?
Well, as we say on my show, The Crisis Files, our tagline, not a matter of if, but when, crisis will rock your world. So it really doesn't matter what size you are. You can be a solopreneur, you can be a small business, whatever label you have. It is important that you are crisis aware and crisis ready. So how can you do that? It doesn't need to cost a lot of money. It's really understanding, and I'll give you just the quick, my three-part test. And I talk about this on stages around the U.S., Mary, and would love to share this three-part test with your listeners and viewers. You start by asking, who is this business's, who are our internal and external stakeholders? And if you, the business owner, don't know, then you've got a problem and you've just got gaps. They could just, any one of those gaps could lead to crisis. So what are some examples of internal stakeholders? Your employees are an internal stakeholder. What about an external stakeholder? Your customers are an external stakeholder. But if you have a board of directors, and many small companies do, they might not be paid board members, but maybe their advisory board, those are also external stakeholders. And one key area that a lot of businesses of all sizes don't fully realize when they're doing this three-part crisis test, the media is an external stakeholder. Because if something goes wrong, I mean, you and I are ex-TV News, former TV News reporters. We love that hard news. Everybody's bad day is like our best day. That's what leads, right? That bad news. Sorry, folks. But that's what makes it news, that something didn't go right, whether it's a disaster, PR, optics, issues, lawsuit, mugging, whatever. Those are all things that take us into places that aren't just the status quo. And any of those things that take us off status quo could become a crisis. So as the business owner or even the employee in a small business, understand who are our internal, who are our external stakeholders. That's step number one. And do this with your team. Sit down, whether you have an all-company meeting or, you know, as you kick off a day that you're doing some inventory, spend 45 minutes on this exercise. Number two, analyze each of those audiences. It's not a one-size-fits-all. And you know that so well because you're a PR maven, but it's not one-size-fits-all. What one internal stakeholder needs might not be what another one needs, certainly different from what the media needs, or if you're in the city limits and you have some kind of issue with your license, then all of a sudden the city council or the pet brigades could become your external stakeholders. So really understand each of those audiences and how do we connect with them if we are either in crisis or trying to avert crisis so that we get ahead of it. And then the final step in this three-part test is, who are our spokespeople? We don't need to always assume it's the owner, but it should be someone who has a little coaching. You know, all they need to do, Mary, if they can't afford you, is to watch all your episodes. And you're giving coaching all the time in those episodes. So are your guests. So bone up on that, no pun intended, on really understanding what each of these audiences need and who are among our team, the one or two or three spokespeople, because not everyone should speak on behalf of an organization if you're thinking crisis is about to happen or you're already in crisis.
So let me ask you, do you think every business and nonprofit should have a crisis plan just as a, you know, standard operating procedure?
100%. And again, this does not need to be complicated. If they're a client of yours, you could give them some basics, but really follow this three-part test and let that guide you. If you find gaps there, that's part of the beginning of your crisis plan. Does that mean we need to hire out? Does that mean we need to increase our building insurance? So let's say a robber comes in, right? I mean, you've seen all these different crises more than I have in pet stores. See, a robber comes in, or there's the death of a pet, a beloved pet, and you're the veterinarian. And oh my goodness, the legal fees could just take you out of business. And speaking of legal fees, you have to have a good lawyer. I'm sorry. Please don't rely on these legal forums online. Now, you could use some forms there to get you started, because don't rework the wheel. They've got some really good forms on some of these, you know, legal.com, whatever the sites. I don't even know what they're called because I try to avoid them and I don't recommend them. But if it helps get you started, then you go to a reputable attorney. And there are attorneys at every price point. Also, universities have, I went to the University of Minnesota Law School. All the universities, many of them, have legal clinics. These are second and third year law students that are supervised by full-on professor lawyers who take on your case at little or no cost.
Oh, wow.
That find a friend at one of those legal clinics, no matter what city or state you live in, they are around.
Wow. And so if you were going to hire an attorney, what would a pet business or nonprofit ask? What would be the good questions?
So often the attorney you want for your table stakes is a business attorney, the one that helped you get incorporated. Your tax accountant may have a recommendation, because often lawyers and accountants work together. If you have a financial advisor, the financial advisor has accountants and attorneys they work with. I was actually just at lunch yesterday with my financial advisor, and she works on the regular with my accountant. I signed papers so they have permission to communicate with one another without me. Just, you know, I don't have to be the middle person.
Okay.
If they need a piece of info from each other to get something filed under their respective domains for my business. And again, this doesn't have to cost a lot. Often, my accountant is so great. If you live in Nashville, Tennessee, look up Advanced Tax and Income Services. Scott Stone has been my accountant since 2001 when I was a reporter in Nashville and I did a story with him on taxes. And then I kept going back for that kind of topic. And then he's been doing my taxes ever since 2001. So I went to different markets in TV news. He figured it out, even though he didn't live in those states. When I launched my business, he figured it out. And, you know, I joke that other than my brother, because my father and stepfather have both passed, this is a man who's known me longer than almost anybody. Male-wise,
wow.
You know? I mean, and I trust him. You need those people who are your team, who are your people. And, you know, I know, Mary, for many of your clients, you are their people. Not everyone can afford you, but you, bottom line, need a good business attorney. And find the right fit. Interview them for fit. And again, I cannot recommend enough checking in with some of those business law professors at your local universities. Even some community colleges have those kinds of legal services. And for your permanent attorney, then they might be able to recommend someone in your area.
Got it. So the kinds of crises that I've seen and have dealt with is, for example, a boarding facility. There was one on the East Coast where, unfortunately, a mentally ill employee basically killed a 2-month-old golden retriever puppy in the play yard. Another situation was another boarding facility was bought by another company, and the manager who was working there led a revolt of all the employees. They all walked out. They took all the email lists and everything and blocked the new owner from getting the information they need and launched a slanderous campaign. In all those situations, these people were so panicked. And, you know, your 3-step plan is really awesome, but what should they do? Should they do that 3-step plan while they're in this state of emotion? Because I think you know this too, but the media picked up that the employee killed the dog. And then pretty soon all the stations were there knocking on her door. She didn't know what to do. She did have an attorney who basically said to tell them no comment. So maybe that attorney wasn't the right fit. So tell me what would be your advice in those situations? Because that would be a very applicable kind of situation, or a pet food recall where an animal died. That's another big one.
And that we hear about those happening all the time, right? In mainstream news. So right. Let's start with the 3-step crisis test is, I recommend you're using that when you're calm, when you're not in crisis. Because step number one, if you see that you're going into crisis or crisis has landed on your front door, is to remain calm. That is absolutely step number one. And if you've done the legwork with my 3-step crisis kind of test for endurance and ability and, you know, how you're going to be in a crisis, you would already have some team in place. Not necessarily your spokespeople in that case, but could be, you know, your spokesperson could be one of the first people that's getting ready to react to this. And so if the media calls or shows up, we say, well, Joni is our spokesperson. Joni will be holding a media conference at this time. You know, you might have to lock your door for a bit so people aren't just coming in as you get this all situated. So this is when it's really good to know, who are the spokespeople, as I mentioned, from the 3-step test? But once we're in crisis, we got to stay calm, because you as the pet owner or employee or team leader, boss, if you lose it, it's going to be really hard to come out with a solid outcome that won't affect the rep of your business. All of those crises you mentioned, Mary, are solvable. Now, there are different layers in each one of them. If something were to happen where that revolt, okay, let's take the revolt situation when that led, you know, all the employees out. Do you have some simple documents, preferably an employee handbook, even if it's small, but even if it's just a document where when they sign up, whatever paperwork they have to sign up to become an employee after you've hired them or as you're hiring them, they really need to sign that all of the information in the database of my company, XYZ, is confidential. I will not take it. I will not use it for myself. I will only use it within the work I'm doing for company XYZ. So that is a simple, again, the concept sounds simple. I'm not saying it's easy to put that together, but that's not any more than about an hour of work for an attorney to get that written up for you as a template. You can change it up a little as you need to, but really the key things. And then add in there, if I breach this or if I as an employee take anything from company XYZ, I know that I could face legal ramifications. So the employee is signing that, and that's what we call a contract. It's a mini contract or an employee agreement. And it absolutely is normal to have something like that because every business has its own trade practices, has its own confidential database. Plus, you know, our dog Kodak, I'm assuming his vet is not just selling our private information, our phone number, our address. They have that privately in their database to communicate with us for the benefit of Kodak. We are not agreeing to let that out anywhere. So all of those things need to be very clear, both if you're a pet owner using a vet, as well as if you're the owner of a veterinary clinic and have employees, or a pet store and have employees, or a groomer and have employees. If you're just thinking everything's word of mouth, I mean, you know, I've got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you because people, you have to plan for the worst. I mean, that's the crisis strategist in me. That's also the former investigative news reporter in me. You have to earn your trust with me. That's what I kind of say to new people. So you have to just expect for the plan for the worst and hope for the best. But hope is not a strategy. You must plan. And you can't rely on the good nature. Now, look, I think 90 to 95% of people are really good people and wouldn't steal from you. But when you own a store that's public facing, when you have strangers coming in and out because they're your customers or prospective customers, employees, anything could happen, not a matter of if, but when.
All right. Well, Rashini, this is such great information. We need, though, to take a quick break. And when we come back, Rashini's going to tell us more tips and tricks when it comes to crisis communications.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with the wonderful Rashini Rajkumar, who was talking a little bit about the legal beagle side of the pet industry. And Rashini, do you think animals cause more emotion in the way people react to crises?
Yes, look, animals, and you know this, you're such a pet lover of all kinds of pets. I love animals. I'm a big dog lover. They are such unconditional love. They are like a family member, and sometimes even more than that, because they're just ever present, you know? It is very difficult to lose a pet. And when you lose a pet, outside of the normal course of their life where they have some sort of death after hopefully a decent life, if that life is cut short and it's the fault of a pet store or a dog food or a cat food or a bad kitty litter or a bad veterinarian, you better believe pet owners are going to take it up with you. So if you're on the business side of that relationship, customer appreciation, customer transparency, honesty, and ethics are the only way to go. There are no shortcuts, because a reputation is lost in a second, like even faster than I can snap my fingers. A reputation could be lost, but a reputation is built over time, over years and years. And you and I know that when we were TV news reporters, all we had was our word. When we, you know, came on the scene, if someone wasn't going to talk to us because they heard something bad and we didn't get the story, that's a bad day to go back to the newsroom. We couldn't get the police to talk with us because they didn't trust me, right? I mean, that's all you have is your word. And when you're a business owner, that's the case. And I know that as a business owner, even though I'm not in the pet industry, but in the crisis space and the executive advising space, I mean, I would never want, you know, I don't even talk about who my clients are. That's the confidentiality I promise them. Now, if they have given me a testimonial and given me approval to put it on my website, then people can look that up and see who some of my clients are. But what you say to your customers has to be lived out in real time. And when a pet is involved, no matter how old, what breed, what, you know, type of animal it is, you better believe people will go to the mat, sometimes even more than they will for another human being.
Yeah, it was funny because when I was working as a reporter around the same time you were here in Minneapolis, I once had a police sergeant say, you know, if a child gets murdered, they won't get any calls at the police department. But when a dog gets murdered, there will be hundreds of calls from outraged residents who are like wondering what's going to happen to the assailant. I mean, it's just amazing. I was wondering, can you give us an example of like a brand or something that had a reputation where they had a reputation, their reputation restored after a crisis?
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to one of it's so old now that some of your people might not even have been alive or they were kids when it happened. And you and I were very little when it happened, but it's one of the classic kind of white papers in good crisis management. So we know the brand Tylenol. And I believe it was in the 80s sometime where there was a cyanide scare that the Tylenol had been laced. And the makers of Tylenol did not try to be defensive or try to kill the messenger. They, and again, I'm giving kind of a loose overview, collapsing a bunch of days into just this response. They held a press conference. They came right out and said, we are recalling all of it off the shelves. And what great customer and just optics and PR, because no media outlet could then criticize them of it, really accuse them of anything, but hey, we're being safe. Regardless of the economic hit that it took on them, they pulled them all off the shelves. And yes, they had some bleeps for a bit, but not really to their reputation. So think about that.
Well, today it's stronger than ever.
That's you amazing. Stand for? And from when we were kids, you know, in the 80s, Mary, there are so many products now for pets. I mean, it blows my mind how many products, and you don't always know how well scienced and researched and what's behind, who's backing it. So if you're going to carry a toy or a food or a mat for your pet, hopefully you're really only buying in your store from reputable brands. And this is also why it's good for them to have someone like you, because you do some vetting before you even rep your clients, and then you help them grow if there's a startup. So I always say too, the kind of work I do as a crisis strategist, executive coach, what you do in PR, it's money well spent, because we prevent a huge number of crises. Like, I don't even think I could estimate how many millions or maybe even billions, but let's just say millions of dollars I have helped save or my clients make because we have done things in a crisis-proof fashion, or we've reacted to crisis in a very clear and transparent way. So that's going to win the day every time. Transparency is going to be the first to tell your story and react if a crisis does land on your doorstep. Don't let others tell the story for you. This is also why you have to have some good relationships with the media. If you have local media, whether it's a magazine, radio, podcast, TV, whatever, especially the ones that do regular mainstream news, it is a very good idea to have some kind of, like, you know, the reporters, or invite them to your store. Just, hey, I'm a resource if you ever do a pet story. Because then if crisis happens, you think they're going to call you first. Even if it's the crisis right. of a different pet store or just about pet food in general, they might come to you first. So it is very important to be honest. And as they say, let me see if I can get this line right. The cover up is always worse than the crime. So don't ever go at that half-assed. You've got to be very transparent and be the first to tell your story, good and bad, first to tell your story.
I guess the point of that is honesty is always the best, because if you lie, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt.
It sure will. Worse than any dog can.
Exactly. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get Rashidi's parting thoughts.
Talk to the paw.
Hi, this is Amy Schumer.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back with Rashidi. Rashidi, it was so great having you on the show today. Can you give us, you know, one tip or trick that you think everybody should know as your parting thought?
So one thing that we haven't covered is how can you help your team help you? So if you're a pet store or a team that's creating a product, don't think you have to carry the weight of the world as the owner or the inventor. Ask your employees, ask your advisors, ask your PR if you have PR in your world, and really take a pressure test or a stress test. Really seek out the gaps, the brands and the inventors that really look for the failure first. And I know that sounds like a crisis strategist, but again, I'm trying to prevent the crisis. Look for all of the ways we could fall flat on our face if something were to go awry, and get some intel from your own people because they're the closest to it. And then some trusted outside voices also, because there is also sometimes when you are the closest to it, you don't always see everything, but there are a lot of things your employees see if you're a vet office or a pet store or a groomer. Look at them. They value where they work and they want to keep their job. So if they see that you're open and you want them to share, you know, so you also have to have that inviting culture that they're not afraid of getting fired or docking pay if they share honestly. But ultimately, that's going to save you so much money, headache, and crises in the long run.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for this information. And if you want to hear more from Rashidi, you have a podcast called The Crisis Files. Tell us where people can find it, how they can get a hold of you.
Thank you. Well, The Crisis Files kicked off in August of 2022. So we're in season 4. August of 2026, we'll kick off season 5. And it's basically weekly. So we have a lot of great content, really easy 15 to 20 minute episodes you can find in both video format and audio. The easiest way is thecrisisfiles.com, but you can also find The Crisis Files on YouTube and all of the major audio podcast platforms. Very easy to find. And if you want to connect directly with me, you can do it through the website. You can also do it on my business site, rashiniinc.com. And I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn at Rushini Rajkumar.
All right. So there you have it. We are so grateful for you taking the time to come on our show today.
Well, thanks for having me and good luck as you help all of your listeners and viewers avoid crisis.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of The Whisker Report. Remember, if you're involved in the pet industry, the reputation, your reputation is one of your most valuable assets, and preparation is always easier than damage control. So, got a question you'd like us to answer on a future episode? Visit whiskermedia.com and send it our way. So, for Mark Winter, I'm Mary Tan, and as we always say, bark loud and purr smart.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.